The argument. In college, Madison forms the pattern of intense friendship that will come to shape his political vision of the Constitutional Republic. As a Southerner and an Anglican at Mid-Atlantic Presbyterian Princeton, Madison develops the interest that will bring him into public life and give him an almost accidental public career: religious liberty. As fervor for independence grows, Madison develops a distinction between religious dissent among Protestants who share common commitments which should be protected as an absolute good, and loyalist opposition to independence which deserves to be suppressed because it threatens the political commitment to independence. The Revolution gives Madison the chance to participate in writing the Virginia State Constitution when he is just 25. There, Madison makes his first public mark, an improvement of the religious liberty provision. His career as a Constitution designer and public official is launched. He came to New Jersey for the air. Arriving at Princeton in the autumn of 1769, James Madison, Jr. found something unique in the North America of the time: a college offering entree into the European Republic of Letters and the ideas of the Enlightenment, as well as a close-knit community of smart, ambitious young men intent on forming lasting friendships and getting ahead in the world. For the eldest son of a wealthy Virginia plantation owner, educated privately by tutors, this was the true start of his life. Madison's eyes were a clear green. His hair was dark, and he was perhaps 5 feet 5 inches tall. Neat and tidy, he looked younger than his 18 years. Like his peers, he thought of himself as a British subject. Yet Madison was different. His classmates mostly came from the mid-Atlantic colonies of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York. Madison was a Virginian from the Piedmont. The college was a Presbyterian institution, teaching students from a range of dissenting Protestant denominations. Madison was a member of the Church of England. The students, who rarely had independent means, aspired to careers in law, medicine, and the ministry. Madison, heir to 4,000 acres and well over 100 slaves, was a gentleman by birth. Indeed, he came up to Princeton accompanied by a slave named Sawney, whom his maternal grandmother had left to him in her will. What made Madison most unusual was his profound sense of intellectual purpose. For many students, friendship was the most important focus of college life. Educated young men in late 18th century America often spoke and wrote to each other of their great mutual affection. Declarations of passionate friendship, even love, were not considered unmanly. Madison had come to Princeton to learn, and his friendships reflected that priority. In his first year at the college, he formed a close bond with a Philadelphian named Joseph Ross, who had arrived the year before. Attracted to the challenge of intense study together, they decided to try to accomplish the next 2 years of required coursework in just 1 year. Together, Madison and Ross experimented with how little they could sleep and got themselves down to 5 hours a night for weeks at a time. Constantly in each other's company and constantly reading, the young men succeeded. Madison received his degree as Bachelor of Arts after just 2 years. This total commitment to a common project formed a paradigm for Madison's friendships that would persist throughout his life. 60 years later, he would downplay the accomplishment, but he still remembered Ross, and he was proud enough of what they had done together to say they had learned more in 1 year than they would have in the more usual 2 or even 3 years' study. Madison also became seriously ill in the process, a result, he believed, of the exertion. At commencement in 1771, Ross gave an English oration entitled The Power of Eloquence. Madison was too sick to attend. He did not leave Princeton early, but ended up spending his third year there convalescing, reading, and studying according to his own interests, not for a degree. Alongside his studies, Madison allowed himself to have a little fun. He belonged to the Whig Society, a debating club come fraternity of which Ross was a founding member. The Whigs engaged in paper wars with another club, the Cleosophic Society. Madison himself wrote three long, humorously insulting poems in one such war. The poems include sophomoric rhymes involving scatological humor. Urania threw a chamber pot, which from beneath her bed she brought, and struck my eyes and ears and nose, repeating it with lusty blows. And sex. She took me to her private room, and straight an eunuch out I come. Yet, despite humorous references to friends whoring, pimping, drinking, and swearing, Madison was well-behaved, and mainly serious. The president of the college, John Witherspoon, Presbyterian minister, philosopher, signer of the Declaration of Independence, and someone whose own seriousness was beyond question, told Thomas Jefferson a few years later that, in the whole career of Mr. Madison at Princeton, he had never known him to say or do an indiscreet thing. Jefferson considered the comment so funny that he liked to tease Madison about it.